Have you ever wondered why some startups skyrocket to billion-dollar valuations while others with seemingly brilliant ideas crash and burn? The answer might be simpler than you think. Brian Long, the entrepreneur behind Tap Commerce, acquired by Twitter for $100 million, and Attentive, valued at billions with over 1,000 employees, reveals that success isn't about having the most innovative solution, it's about finding the right problem. Problem hunting has become required reading in Silicon Valley circles, with investors like Mark Andreessen recommending it to founders seeking funding. Unlike theoretical business books, Long's approach is refreshingly practical, offering a step-by-step playbook drawn from his decade of building successful tech companies. As Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff notes, the difference between a good idea and a great business is understanding what problems customers will actually pay to solve. Finding a burning customer problem is the cornerstone of building a successful business. While many entrepreneurs become enamored with their solutions, the truly successful ones obsess over understanding customer problems first. This approach requires significant effort, listening to potential buyers, learning their motivations, and gaining their trust to share their biggest challenges. The good news is that problems are everywhere. Every industry has them. New ones emerge daily, and many existing solutions no longer work effectively. This creates tremendous opportunity for entrepreneurs willing to do the detective work of problem hunting. When starting this process, focus on large, growing markets. It's typically easier to capture a small piece of a massive market than to dominate a niche one. Industries like healthcare, $4.3 trillion, banking, $3.6 trillion, and e-commerce, $1.7 trillion, offer enormous potential. Equally valuable are rapidly growing markets like renewable energy, electric vehicles, or artificial intelligence, which are expanding at 20-30% annually. Beyond market size and growth, your personal interest matters tremendously. Long shares his failure with Sell My Closet, a clothing marketplace that had market potential but couldn't sustain his interest. Meanwhile, competitors like Poshmark, who were genuinely passionate about fashion, succeeded in the same space. You'll be more successful working on problems that genuinely interest you. After identifying a promising market, you need to talk directly to potential customers. For consumer businesses, this means identifying target customer groups and developing systems to engage them. Long recommends creating online forms using tools like Google Forms, collecting contact information and relevant questions, then driving traffic through social media or targeted advertising. These methods helped him collect thousands of survey responses and conduct dozens of focus groups to identify widespread consumer problems. For B2B ventures, you must identify people with purchasing authority. Long learned this lesson the hard way with Franklin, a text messaging tool initially pitched to HR departments who loved the product but had no budget to purchase it. He advises entrepreneurs to understand departmental budget authority. CEOs, marketing, and sales typically have significant budgets, while departments like customer support, HR, and operations often have limited purchasing power. When in doubt, focus on solving the CEO's problems, as they have ultimate decision-making authority in almost every business. After identifying a promising customer problem, resist the urge to immediately start building. This common mistake can waste months of development time on products nobody wants. Instead, follow a disciplined approach to testing solutions before writing a single line of code. The first step is creating a solution specification document, SSD, that builds on your problem definition document. This blueprint defines your solution in detail and helps create materials to communicate with potential buyers. A good SSD includes a clear description of your solution, metrics for success, minimum product requirements to test those metrics, and potential challenges you anticipate. Next, transform your SSD into a pitch presentation for potential buyers. Long recommends a simple four-part structure: overview of what your company does, the core buyer problems, your solution/product, and next steps to try your product with an opportunity for feedback. This structure served Long's company Attentive well, even as it grew to over 8,000 customers and hundreds of millions in revenue. When gathering feedback on your solution, be aware that most people are non-confrontational and will give encouraging remarks regardless of their true opinion. To overcome this politeness barrier, use a structured post-pitch verbal survey. Ask buyers to rate their problem's importance on a 1 to 10 scale, gauge their interest in your solution, also 1 to 10, identify what they like most and wish was different, and learn about alternative solutions they've tried. For interpreting solution ratings, Long provides a clear framework. Scores below 7 suggest your solution doesn't solve the problem. 7 to 8 might solve it, 8 to 9 most likely solves it, and 9 to 10 definitely solves it. Scores below 6 should raise serious concerns about adoption potential, while scores approaching 10 indicate buyers may immediately purchase your product. Perhaps most importantly, Long strongly cautions against building products before having committed buyers. He shares a painful lesson from an early business where his team built a complete mobile application for online stores without securing committed buyers first. Despite months of engineering work, they couldn't convince a single business to use the product, even for free. This failure cost them investor confidence and wasted significant resources. As Long puts it, the most expensive way to learn is to build a product nobody wants. After defining your core problem and testing solutions with potential buyers, it's time to build your first product as efficiently as possible. The key principle here is minimalism. Create the absolute simplest version of your product that can test your core hypothesis. Long recommends a radical approach. Take your minimum viable product, then cut an additional 50% of features. At Attentive, his text message marketing business, they created an initial MVP with just 4 core capabilities: consumer SMS signups, signup performance measurement, SMS message sending capability, and message performance tracking. Then further reduced it by replacing complex features with manual processes. This approach allowed them to launch in weeks rather than months, getting invaluable customer feedback early. When launching a B2B product, spread risk by recruiting multiple pilot customers rather than depending on just one. Hold daily stand-ups where everyone shares their progress and plans, ensuring company-wide alignment toward product launch. Bring customers into your development process through weekly check-ins to review results, showcase new features, and gather feedback on upcoming builds. This collaborative approach not only improves your product, but creates customer commitment to your mutual success. During the early stages, Long insists that executives should handle customer support personally. At Attentive, executives manage the first 50 customers throughout their life cycle, building relationships through weekly meetings, lunches, dinners, and events. These informal settings often yielded critical insights, like when a casual conversation over wine led to implementing a lengthy free trial strategy that dramatically boosted sales after a customer suggested giving the product away until customers saw success. One counterintuitive piece of advice Long offers is to avoid going social with your new venture. Resist the urge to publicize your startup on social media or widely announce it to friends and colleagues. Staying quiet preserves your flexibility to pivot without constantly explaining changes to skeptical observers. More importantly, announcing your idea prematurely invites copycats who can quickly replicate your work. Your early research and solution design gives you a competitive head start. Don't sacrifice this advantage for short-term validation. The life of a startup divides into 2 distinct phases, before and after product market fit. Before achieving it, entrepreneurs should conserve capital and remain flexible. Afterward, they can scale aggressively to capture market share. But how do you know when you've reached this critical milestone? The first test is evaluating whether your solution successfully moves the metrics defined in your solution definition document. At Attentive, success meant outperforming email marketing across 4 key metrics: sign-up rate, exceeding 1% target with 5% actual; open rate, unmeasurable but surveys showed most people opened all texts; click-through rate, exceeding 10% target; and revenue, achieving 10x more revenue per subscriber than email. These successful results justified scaling the business. Net Promoter Score, NPS, provides another valuable indicator. If your solution truly solves customer problems, users will happily recommend it to others. Calculate your score by subtracting the percentage of detractors, 0 to 6, from promoters, 9 to 10. Industry averages range from 20 to 70. Long's Tap Commerce achieved over 60, significantly above the software industry average of 40, confirming strong product market fit. Churn rate, how many customers stop using your product, is perhaps the most critical indicator. High churn is like filling a leaky bucket. You're constantly fighting to replace lost customers. Long recalls a lead generation startup that signed $100K in new monthly revenue but lost 5 to 10% monthly to churn. This pattern eventually became unsustainable when churn exceeded new revenue, driving total revenue to zero. A positive indicator of product market fit is when demand exceeds your capacity to deliver. Ideally, you should be scaling operations to meet a backlog of orders. However, Long cautions against prematurely scaling before confirming product market fit. At Franklin, they hired a large team before demand materialized, ultimately requiring layoffs. When expanding again, they opted for more flexible growth strategies like monthly consultants and digital advertising before committing to full-time hires. Even with initial product market fit, businesses can encounter serious obstacles when scaling. Two common pitfalls are discovering your total addressable market is smaller than expected and addressing problems that prove temporary. At Tap Commerce, Long initially estimated they could sell to over 10,000 businesses. After selling to various customers, they discovered their product was only effective for businesses with very large mobile application audiences, roughly 500 businesses globally, just 5% of their initial estimate. This limited growth potential was a key factor in their decision to sell to Twitter after only 2 years. For much of his startup career, Long dismissed company cultural values as mostly meaningless, since many tech companies claim similar values while operating very differently. However, as his businesses grew, he recognized that clear cultural values are crucial. They guide employees in making decisions when management can't weigh in, prevent harmful behaviors, help prioritize time, and establish communication rules. Your company values should reflect the reality of working at your company, not just attract candidates. At Attentive, they formally defined values after reaching 50 employees, when issues arose around honesty with customers and project timelines. Their initial 8 values included integrity first, default to action, and lots of laughs. Years later, they refined them to just 4 core values focused on action, hard work, continuous improvement, and teamwork. Values are meaningless unless ruthlessly enforced throughout your business operations. At Attentive, they integrated values into interview questions to assess candidate fit, incorporated them into performance reviews and promotion decisions, and used them to guide major decisions by asking, if each value got a vote, which way would they go? They constantly communicated values by displaying them at all-hands meetings, board meetings, one-on-one templates, team emails, client communications, their website, LinkedIn page, and job listings. To generate focus and alignment, Long implemented several practical systems. The Top 3 Priorities framework has team members focus on their 3 most important initiatives, publishing them monthly for executive visibility. Each person should spend at least 70% of their time on these priorities, declining meetings unrelated to them. The remaining 30% supports others' priorities and routine work. For executive communication, Attentive held 2-hour Monday meetings using a shared Google Doc as both collaborative workspace and meeting record. Their standard template included celebrating wins, everyone shares recent successes, reviewing key metrics, and discussing top 3 priorities. Each person highlights 1 item needing help. They rotated weekly themes, metrics and top 3, go-to-market issues, engineering/product design, and general administration. One-on-one meetings often lack structure despite consuming enormous company time. By implementing a templated agenda completed by direct reports before meetings, these sessions become far more productive. Long's template includes sections for the good, positive developments, issue, biggest work challenge and solution, top 3 priorities, topics for discussion, and bi-directional feedback, like wish format. Building an exceptional team is perhaps the most crucial factor in determining a startup's success after finding a compelling market problem. The team you assemble represents not just business capability, but also the people you'll spend years or decades alongside. Great teams don't happen by accident. They require a dedicated talent builder who tirelessly recruits outstanding individuals. Early-stage startups thrive with builders, people who love creating things, work hard, get their hands dirty, take ownership, and prefer direct action over delegation. Often unsuccessful in large companies, but vital for startups, builders typically have ambitious goals and take pride in their accomplishments. To identify builders in interviews, ask about their dream job, looking for entrepreneurial aspirations, greatest accomplishments to assess values and ambition, projects they've built and are proud of, with follow-ups to verify their involvement, and what they'd like to build at your startup, looking for excitement and ownership. Your first 10 employees will have tremendous impact, as they'll recruit the next 40, establish cultural norms, and make company-defining decisions. Finding this initial team is challenging, since startups require extra work for less immediate compensation. Employees must be motivated by the challenge and potential impact rather than immediate financial rewards. Given the outsized impact of your first 10 employees, CEOs should dedicate half their time to recruiting. While many claim to prioritize recruiting, actual calendar time often shows less than 25%. To build your startup network, leverage connections from previous jobs, school connections, and investor networks who can introduce you to potential co-founders. When warm networks are exhausted, cold outreach becomes essential for hiring. At both TapCommerce and Attentive, the majority of early employees came through cold outreach. The process involves 1. Creating lists of target companies and adjacent roles, 2. Using job search engines like LinkedIn Recruiter to build candidate lists, and 3. Sending personalized messages directly from the CEO rather than HR. Persistence is crucial in cold outreach. Most candidates don't respond to initial messages, often requiring multiple emails, LinkedIn messages, and social media notes before getting a response. Rather than being annoyed, candidates are typically impressed by this perseverance, recognizing it as a critical trait for startup success. For the interview process, create custom questions that match the specific skills and qualifications needed for each role. Assemble a consistent group to interview candidates, dividing questions across panel members with some intentional repetition for critical skills. Score responses on a 1 to 10 scale and calculate averages to compare candidates objectively. Require someone to champion each potential hire, taking personal accountability for the candidate's success or failure, which ensures genuine conviction behind hiring decisions. No one cares about your product. They care about their problems and what you're doing to solve them. Great marketing captures buyers with burning problems and weaves in solutions. Creating urgency is essential, as busy buyers have many distractions and priorities. When naming your company, use a two-step approach. First, incorporate with a generic name, like Crestview Labs or Surfwax Media, that gives you flexibility. Then create a product name that aligns with what your product does. Buy a .com domain, even if you need to add a word to your name, grab social media handles using a new Gmail account, and do a trademark search once you gain traction. Remember that successful companies often change names. Google was originally Backrub, and Facebook was The Facebook, so don't get too attached to your initial choice. Buyers care about their problems, not your solution. Early marketing should focus on articulating customer problems rather than promoting features. At Attentive, switching from solution-focused messaging, interested in SMS marketing, to problem-focused messaging, 20% more revenue, free trial, dramatically improved response rates. When you address the customer's core problem, revenue growth, they become open to hearing about your solution. Long recommends aligning marketing compensation with desired outcomes instead of using flat salaries. At Attentive, the marketing team earned commissions based on the number of conversations they generated with potential customers, motivating them to exceed quarterly targets and drive business growth. Nearly all top-valued companies globally are category leaders. Category leaders can charge higher prices, enjoy better margins, and experience lower churn rates. To achieve category leadership, either create an entirely new category, as TapCommerce did with app retargeting, or enter a category with weak leadership in a dynamic market, as Attentive did with text messaging marketing, where existing providers weren't fully embracing their core business. Many companies, especially in enterprise software, fail to clearly communicate what they do. Avoid creative but confusing marketing language. Instead, explain both the problem you solve and your solution in simple terms that someone outside your industry could understand. Early on, lead with the problem, then introduce the solution. Later, when your category is established, you can lead with the solution. Your buyers have limited exposure to your business and are often distracted. While you live and breathe your product daily, they may only encounter it briefly. Repetition is crucial for sales success. If something is important, say it at least 3 times across your website, sales deck, and marketing materials. The worst outcome of repetition is a customer saying, "I get it," which is far better than them misunderstanding your offering. For startups, effective sales execution often determines success or failure. The first 20 to 30 customers are critical, and having exceptional sales talent can make your business work. Many founders resist getting involved in sales, preferring to focus on product development before customer engagement, a path that typically leads to failure. While many professionals still look down on sales roles, smart companies recognize salespeople as invaluable sources of customer insight. Hiring salespeople early provides crucial product feedback while driving business growth. Inside salespeople, SDRs, who set up meetings with prospects, should be among your first hires. At Attentive, 4 SDRs were among the first 10 employees, enabling 20 customer meetings weekly and rapid product iteration. Long recommends hiring inside salespeople extremely early, even before your product is ready to sell. They're relatively inexpensive, you can hire 3 SDRs for the cost of 1 engineer, and generate valuable customer meetings that provide critical feedback. Founders often resist, claiming they're not ready to sell, can get their own meetings, or try using interns instead. These approaches severely limit your customer feedback loop and slow your progress. When building your sales process, start by defining an ideal customer profile, ICP, with specific criteria like industry, company size, location, and target roles. For B2B businesses, tools like ZoomInfo, Seamless.ai, and LinkedIn Sales Navigator help build contact lists. When creating your ICP, consider starting with smaller, nimbler companies before moving up market. And decide whether to use top-down, executive-focused, or bottom-up, employee-focused selling approaches. The subject line is the most critical part of sales emails, not an afterthought. Buyers see only the sender, subject, and first 8 to 10 words, so make them count. Use tracking software to test different approaches and refine based on open rates. Skip pleasantries and immediately address the buyer's problem, keeping emails concise with a clear call to action. Personalization, like Attentive's custom revenue forecasts for potential clients, significantly increases response rates. Effective sales pitches follow a 5-part structure: discovery questions, elevator pitch, problem definition, solution presentation, and transition to next steps. Begin by spending 25 to 50% of the first call understanding the customer's current situation. This discovery phase helps customize your presentation and increases success likelihood. In your elevator pitch, explain the customer problem, your solution, and why they should listen in under 2 minutes. Include a sit-up slide with a bold claim addressing their core problem to provoke emotional engagement. As CEO, ensuring the company never runs out of cash is your most critical responsibility. While many small businesses bootstrap using founder capital, family funds, or loans, tech companies often require significant investment before seeing profitability. When raising money, entrepreneurs typically focus on the pitch deck, but that's only 10% of the process. You need to find the right investors, understand their motivations, and remove friction at every step. Venture capital has grown into an enormous industry, with thousands of firms in the U.S. alone and annual investments exceeding $200 billion+. Before diving into fundraising, understanding this complex, specialized landscape is essential. Different investor types, VCs, angels, family offices, and corporate strategists have distinct goals and processes. VCs invest to generate returns for their limited partners, charging management fees, typically 2%, and performance fees, around 20% of profits. They need investments that both produce returns and won't embarrass their LPs, whose continued investment keeps the firm alive. Most VC investment decisions happen through partner committees. You'll likely meet associates or principals before engaging partners, and need at least 2 partner meetings before reaching the critical partner meeting presentation, where only about 1 in 100 potential investments gets invited, though half of those presenting receive term sheets. After your pitch, firms conduct formal votes, but you'll need a champion who's genuinely excited about your business to push it through. Your elevator pitch must follow a simple structure. Identify the problem, explain your solution, and demonstrate market size potential. For Tap Commerce, Long highlighted mobile app retention issues. Only 5% of users remain after 6 months. Their solution, targeted ads to former users, and compared their potential to billion-dollar web retargeting companies like Criteo. Practice your pitch extensively, starting with less important investors to refine your delivery. Some of the best money you can invest in an early-stage company is hiring a freelance designer to create a professional pitch deck. When numbers aren't impressive yet, your pitch relies on storytelling, and a well-designed deck signals professionalism. For under $1,000 on platforms like Upwork, you can get a consistent template with color palette, decent logo, and custom graphics. Despite media stories of overnight fundraising success, the reality involves tremendous work. For Tap Commerce, Long conducted 52 investor meetings over 4 months before finding backers. Expect rejections and plan for seasonal timing. Avoid starting fundraising cycles in August or December when investors and lawyers are often on vacation, as lost momentum can be difficult to regain.